A very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 23rd July 2024, Tuesday morning. So we'll be sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta. And we are at page 595. Okay, as usual, let us gather. Then we have our three puja. Let us now compose our mind, develop the Saddha Virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansu Si Chia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansu Si Chia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansu Si Chia Moni Pho. Namo Quan Si In Pusa. Namo Quan Si In Pusa. Namo Quan Si In Pusa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Tishang Wang Pusa. Namo Tishang Wang Pusa. Namo Tishang Wang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuto Bhagawa Bhutang Bhagawantang Abhivademi. Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura miraya majama pahapadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 3 of the chanting book. We shall continue from Padipa Puja onward. Ganna sarapa dipena dipena tamadang sina diloka dipang sambutang പൂജയാമിതമോനുദം ഗന്ധസംബരയുതേന ദുഃഖേനഹം സുഖം ഹിന പൂജയേ പൂജനീയം തം പൂജാ ഭജനമുത്തമം വന്ന ഗന്ധ ഗുണോപേതം ഏതം കുസുമം സന്തതിൻ പൂജയാമി മുനിന്ദാസ ശ്രീപാദ സരോരോഹേ പൂജയമി ബുദ്ധം കുസുമേന നേന പുണ്യേന മത്തേന ച ഹോതു മോഖം ഭൂപം മിലയതി യത ഇദം മേ കായോ തയതി വിനസഭാവം ആദിവാസേതു നോ ബന്തേ പാനിയം പരികാപിതം ആനുകമ്പം ഉപാദായ പാതിഗൃഹാതു മുത്തമം ആദിവാസേതു നോ ബന്തേ പാലേ പരികാപിതം ആനുകമ്പം ഉപാദായ പാതിഗൃഹാതു മുത്തമം ആദിവാസേതു നോ ബന്തേ ഭോജനം പരികാപിതം ആനുകമ്പം ഉപാദായ പാതിഗൃഹാതു മുത്തമം. Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of flowers. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of this merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we shall now pay respect to Triple J. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you all can now be seated. So as usual, we are off the line. so that you all can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Always remember, this awareness-based meditation is very useful and very important. It's to help us develop the stability of inner awareness within. When you are aware without thought, you can develop the meditative mind. Basically, the meditative mind is a silent mind without thought. So what you need to do is to develop the understanding of what this awareness-based nature within us is. And you know that the moment you are silent without thought, you're already aware. Your true mind will surface. And that's how you realize it. That's how the four support to help you develop it is very important, especially the first three support, which is relax, followed by maintaining awareness, the second support. Then finally is the stability of that awareness nature, the third support. So just to refresh, relax means relax body and mind completely, as if you are free of all problem, free of all suffering. You're just in a relaxed state of body and mind. Body completely relaxed, without tension, without stress, without any problem at all, or even tightness. When you feel any tension, any tightness, just relax into it. Then any stress within also relax into it. Make your mind at ease, peaceful, always in a relaxed state. Then you need to maintain awareness, otherwise your mind will start to trigger off thinking, the mundane thinking, the heedless thinking, the habitual thinking that living being already through heedlessness created all the habitual thinking, reaction to sense experience due to your ignorance, delusion. So in order to reverse all this, you need to just relax into every mind state that arise, into your physical body and mind, then maintain awareness. Whatever arise at the sixth sense door, just aware. Finish. Do not try to know, do not follow, do not create any more thought proliferation. Just maintain awareness, silent. Continue to let the mind settle down. We are not doing anything. Means don't try to know, don't try to do. We are these two involved thought process. Who try to do? The thought is behind. One thing to do this, do that, note this, note that. Focus, concentrate, do all those funny things. And the other one is, who wants to know? The thought wants to know. So any doing and thinking involve the thought. One thing to do, one thing to know, create more thought. And when you do that, your awareness nature cannot be there. Because one or man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are in the state of complete inner awareness to be aware of what is going on, or you are lost in thought. Lost in thought means your mundane thinking has proliferated. Then you are preoccupied with what you are thinking, what your conditioning wants you to develop the stirring of mind, how you react to sense experience and how you stir your mind upon perceiving something through your senses and also your habitual like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant reaction to sense experience. So all this create mental hindrance or sensual desire and ill will. They are not conducive for you to develop awareness-based meditation. So just relax, maintain awareness and silence everything. Don't try to do, don't try to know. Just let things be. Whatever arise, let it fade away and settle down. And like I always describe, aware, finish. Aware, finish. Then continue to stabilize this awareness until your whatever random of sankhara activity or mundane thinking start to slow down. Slow down, gradually slow down until it becomes very quiet and very still. When you can reach that state, means that is a good sign. You have at least progressed until the first initial stage where you can come to realize your true mind. The very beginning. And without thought, who are you? You will start to understand. And when all this mundane thinking or activity, especially sankhara movement, when they cease, what happened? What remains? And find out. That is what awareness-based meditation is. What remains is your original mind, your true mind, your pure awareness nature within. That is the first to arise into this of my mind, into this existential world. So the first thing to come out from that pure nature is the pure awareness. And that is our true mind, our silent mind. And that is the one that can meditate. We also call it the meditative mind, which is dwai, that's it, or in the state of sati, with stability of samadhi. Samadhi means unwavering, collected. The mind is collected and unwavering. Means it can be in that state of awareness, just aware, without words, without thoughts, without any labeling, verbalization, or chattering. That is your silent mind, your true mind, the inner awareness nature. Realize that, stabilize, then you will progress and you will do well in your awareness-based meditation. You will feel the calmness, the tranquility, the stillness within. Then all of the stress, tension, or volatile movement, they will start to cease. Then you start to experience a type of peace that is beyond the normal. Beyond the normal one is your mind is very noisy. Noisy in the sense that it thinks a lot. It creates a lot of verbalization. It creates a lot of what they call verbal chattering inside there. Then sankhara activity or reaction of mind, mind states, they continuously arise and pass away, creating more delusion and attachment and clinging. And this is how living beings become heedless, completely heedless, lost in thought, and they think a lot, and they react to what they think via their sense experiences due to sakkaya ditthi, self-delusion, and lack of right understanding. Okay, now I will set the alarm for 30 minutes so that you can continue your awareness-based meditation. Okay. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation and try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, now turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We shall do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta cakrawalesu atra gacantu devata. Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Svanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanankalo Ayang Badanta Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti beso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho vijja carana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pajatang Veditado Venohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakkasangho Samicipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkhineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyang Ketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we will continue from where we stop. Page 595 of this book, the Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 595, volume 4, chapter 3. Okay, I will continue. According to Xuanhua, in the commentary, he said everything is created from the mind alone. So here it means everything depends on what you do and how you think about it. There are different ways of looking at the same thing. Mundane sound refer to the five desires: form, sound, sense, flavor, and tangible object. So here they are referring to the five basic senses plus the mind. It forms the sixth sense. Yeah? So mundane perception actually. Yeah? So here, mundane creation through the senses, like the first type of the five basic sensual desire are the sensual desire for form, for sound, for smell, for taste, then tactile. So these are the five basic physical senses. Then there's another one at the mind level. So the mind is thought consciousness. And this one can only be triggered by the brain. Yeah? You need the accumulated memory in the brain. Otherwise, you can't. Yeah? Go back to the notes, Okay. I continue. Huh? Some may say, I don't believe this principle will expose. I already knew that you would not believe it. It is not just now that I found out. I knew it long ago. Why? This one is according to Xuanhua's, Master Xuanhua's commentaries. Eh? It is because you have not reached, yet reached that level of understanding. You don't have that skill and you don't believe. Sorry, and so you don't believe. You have that kind of understanding or skill. You would be able to do something like this. See as if not seeing. Hear as if not hearing. In this way, the sixth kind of pure essence of consciousness of seeing, hearing, smell, tasting, tactile sensation, and cognitive awareness would all listen to your orders. They would listen to your command and be under your command or control. In that case, if you told them to see, they would see. If you told them not to see, they would not see. If you told them to hear, they would hear. If you told them not to hear, they would not hear. The same applies to tasting, smelling, tangible sensation, and cognitive awareness. Therefore, in studying the Buddha Dharma, you can study for many years. But when you encounter some situation, your mind must not move. So this one refers to the inner stability of understanding, which is wisdom, leading to stability of mind, or what we call samadhi. Here, the word samadhi is different from samatha, which is concentration. Samadhi here means the mind is a free mind, and the free mind is collected and unwavering. And that is the real meaning of samadhi. Whereas the other type, the samatha concentration, is not samadhi. That one is due to a conditioned state where meditator or cultivator, they focus the mind, fix it at one point using the meditation object. In India, during the time of the Buddha, it's very popular. They call it samatha object of meditation. There are 40 samatha objects of meditation, and a lot of them can help cultivator of the way or meditator develop very strong samatha concentration, because they kill all thought into one point. They fix all their attention into one object of meditation or one pointedness. So they develop jhanic factor instead of spiritual faculty. They use the thought to fix it, meditate, to control. So they apply the thought Then they sustain the thought. That's why in the teaching, they have this initial application of thought and sustained thought. Yeah. Then after that, what they do is they continue to focus. After they apply the thought and they sustain the thought, they continue to focus. Then the thought cannot move. There is like no thought. Yeah. Then what happens is our mundane mind, which is mainly consciousness, has energy. So wherever you locate that thought, that mundane mind, the energy will build up. The energy will build up. So when the energy build up, it develops into what they call psychic field of concentration, samatha, concentration. Then this energy need to be released. If you don't know how to release it, then it will be a problem for the cultivator. Then sometimes they don't know how to regulate this energy because they don't have the wisdom. So it creates yin yang. That's why this energy sometimes can create intense heat or intense chill or cold based on the yin yang nature within. So with applied thought and sustained thought, they develop the initial calmness or peacefulness of mind. Of course, the energy will build up. So when the energy build up, they experience the peace, the calm. So they go into what they call jhana concentration. So the energy is being used to develop jhana. So the first jhana is the first two jhanic factor is there. Applied thought and sustained thought. So these two is the beginning of the first jhana. Then after that, they experience more calm, more peacefulness. Then they experience the third jhanic factor, which they call piti. Piti is a type of calmness that gives the meditator a lot of joy, a lot of what they call meditative. There's another word. It's like you feel very good. They develop it into a meditative joy. But it is not the blissful state yet. So this piti is a very calm state of joy. Like you feel very good inside. Very good. Then there is a joy born of calmness. Not really tranquility, calmness. But it's equivalent to tranquility, but no thought inside that. All keep into one point in concentration. Then after that, if they continue to develop it, then it becomes very intense, very intense. So from PT, it develops into what they call blissful state. The Pali word is, I forgot already, sukhang. Sukhang. It developed into that sukhang state where the mind become extremely blissful. That blissfulness is really blissful. You feel like really that type of intense joy, like very blissful. Sometimes the sensation is so blissful that your tactile area, that type of sensation. Some people use the word like goose pimple or those things, but it's really blissful inside there. Then finally, when that one also subside, then they develop what they call the final ekagata. Ekagata is one-pointedness of mind. So from initial application of thought, they sustain their thought and develop the peace. Then they experience piti, then sukhang, which is bliss. Then after that, they experience this one-pointedness. So when they define jhana, they say when the first two jhanic factor of applied thought and sustained thought is too gross, because after they experience the higher peace and the calmness, they will relinquish the first two. Then they experience the second jhana. That's why the second jhana is characteristic by this, what they call piti. Then later on, as they develop into sukhang, blissfulness, they will relinquish piti and stay in this blissful state of sukhang. That is the third jhana. Then finally, even the intense sukhang, or what they call blissful state, also no more. They stay in very strong one-pointedness concentration. That is where the fourth jhana is. That's why it's characterized by one-pointedness upekkha. Upekkha means it's like they are in the state of equanimity. In the early day, in the 1975, 76, when I was in the university, I went into those states. And that time I didn't know where it was so blissful, so beautiful. And the samatha concentration is so strong. Mine, I didn't develop it from 40 meditation objects. Mine, I developed through anapanasati. I went into continuous mindfulness. Then my mind went into absorption. Absorption. It was so still. Like inside that, nothing can disturb me. Complete equanimity. Then that time, even loud thunder or what, it cannot even touch the inner core. It at the most like re-vibrate on the external peripheral of it. And the heart there still. No thought, no movement, nothing. Then that time you cannot get angry on. Yeah, I was doing metta. You pour hot water or whatever happened, you will not stir or react. You are like enlightened. But that one is born of jhana. That equanimity is not characterized by wisdom. That's why it's different. So this one, you need to have the understanding, because in the early days, I remember, people like jhana because they equate jhana to the enlightened state. So they even define the Noble Eightfold Path, Sama Samadhi, as the eight jhanas. But it's very easy to deduce. Well, during the Buddha's time, the first two teacher, sorry, the two teacher that taught Sakyamuni before he became the Sama Samadhi, they taught him all the jhanas. The first one teach him until the seventh jhana, the formless rite. The second one teach him until the last, the eighth jhana, the highest of the formless jhanas. And yet they are not enlightened. That is the obvious understanding. So jhana without wisdom, it cannot actually liberate the living being. It cannot bring about enlightenment in the here and the now. But if you are in that jhanic state, your mind is already trained quite well. So if you meet an enlightened being who know how to advise you to come out of it, then very fast they can progress and develop the understanding. What they should do is they should release the energy, the jhanic energy, back to normal mind state. Means at the stage of upachara samadhi, not apana samadhi. Don't go in too deep. In fact, it's almost at the first jhana stage. But don't go and apply thought and sustain your thought. Relax and maintain awareness. So through awareness space, you develop the samadhi, the collectedness of mind, and the unwavering mind. That is to allow you to have that initial stability of mind to see things as they are, to insight into phenomena, and to develop the initial wisdom for you to actually bring about the initial liberation of mind. Yeah. So unless you do that and go into daily mindfulness and cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness or satipatthana, you will not be able to develop that type of insight or wisdom that can awaken you. The reason being, when you are in the state of jhana, or what they call samatha, concentration or absorption, the five mental hindrances, they are all suppressed. They cannot move. They cannot surface. Then it's like you are enlightened. That's why those who do jhana, a lot of them, they are trapped there. Yeah. In fact, you study the 10 fetters. Yeah. They are mentioned there. So what happens is, when you are trapped in those mind states, they themselves does not know unless they have good teachers who can guide them. Then they believe they have attained or realized those enlightenments. But when you are in those jhanic state, it's like you have equanimity, you understand, like a lot of Dhamma you can understand. But that is not the real penetrative one. The real penetrative one is when the free mind, without the conditioned mind in jhana or concentration to suppress the mental hindrance, then in the midst of life, daily life, when you don't have the wisdom, you will be able to observe through the silent mind how you stir your mind, how you react to sense experience, how the mental hindrance come to be, how you are attracted to the sensual rhyme, or the one that Master Xianhua described, the sensual rhyme of the senses, the five basic sense plus the thought process, which is the brain, the thought consciousness. So this one is the one that actually draw. So sensual desire can be positive and negative. So when sensual desire arise through the senses, that's why the previous Tuesday, remember, the four wall denote one. One of them is sensual desire. Then well, all those things that actually delude living being to grasp, to cling, and to hold, and get deludedly attracted to them. So all this, when they arise, without the awareness of sati, because they are being suppressed, you in that state of concentration, like you are actually already peaceful, very calm, contented, like equanimity. It's like you're enlightened, you don't need anything, it's full. The titi, sukhang, everything is so strong. But they do not realize this one is a conditioned state which they can maintain when they are young, when they constantly develop the jhanic practices. But as you grow old, as you age, when your mind is no longer able to carry that concentration, what happens is the mental hindrance, they are no longer under suppression. They become like free to move. Then you realize when you confront the first noble truth reality, especially old age, sickness and death, and separation or whatever, then they realize they suffer, they become afflicted. Then they react to sense experience, then they have doubt. How come last time I was able to be in those jhanic states, so beautiful? Now, like, a lot of doubt starts to arise. How come I am now in this state? How come my mind is still able to be affected by what people do, by what the external phenomenal world actually manifests? That's how they get into trouble again. But most of these people, by then, they are already too old. And most of them, they also knew something is not right. Of course, there are some in between who met the right teacher and the right understanding. They can come out of it. Then they develop the daily mindfulness. Then once the wisdom is there, it's completely different. The equanimity that is born of wisdom one is completely different. That one can actually maintain the upekkha inside there without any need for a conditioned state of mind or concentrated mind or in absorption and all those things. That one is a free mind that has the understanding and the wisdom. That's why that mind can liberate. Otherwise, once your jhanic energy is not so stable and not so strong, the five mental hindrances will come and afflict you and cause suffering in you. So, sensual desire, you will is the first two. That's love and torpor. Then when you have doubt, worry, anxiety, restlessness of mind, then you start to doubt. How come now like that? Last time different. So all this understanding, yeah, which is not there if you do the samatha, okay, you will not be able to handle life. That's why it's very different. So we go back to Xuanhua, the sharing there. Yeah. So if you can keep your mind still, then you have samadhi power. So here, I would like to highlight the danger of this sentence. Because you can keep your mind still, we are two way, understand? One is samatha. Then if you say that is samadhi, then you have to be careful. Well, that is not the sama samadhi. The sama samadhi is the free mind without mental hindrance. The free mind that is collected and unwavering. And the mental hindrance are not being suppressed. So the understanding is to have that mind, you must have the five opposite spiritual faculty developed. Then when the spiritual faculty develop, wisdom is one of them. That's why Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya. Once you have Sati and Samadhi, the real Samadhi, then wisdom will keep on arising. Panya will keep on arising. So this is the one that makes the big difference. The Samadhi of a cultivator that develop awareness-based cultivation is the real upekkha. The seventh factor of enlightenment, the last factor of enlightenment, which is upekkha, is born of wisdom, supported by wisdom. So here, once you understand that, then you will know if you can keep your mind still, means a free mind, not in concentration or a conditioned state, then you have samadhi power. That is correct, a free mind. Yeah? If you are affected by every situation you encounter, then you lack samadhi power. This is perfectly true. In that case, even if you study the Buddha Dharma until you grow old and die, it will be of no use whatsoever. So this one is a very important understanding. Then earlier on, Jinhao, you move it down a bit, further down. Okay. Put it down a bit. Okay. Stop that. So here he say, you don't have the skill, and so you don't believe in all those things. He say, if you have that kind of skill, you will be able to do something like this. Seeing as if not seeing. Hearing as if not hearing. So in this way, the sixth kind of pure essence of consciousness. Seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and cognitive awareness would all listen to your order. So this one means wisdom. Last time, remember, I share with you all in the early days before I go into the awareness-based meditation in detail. What I share with you all is, I said this mind, the mundane mind, need to be trained. Once you have trained this mundane mind until it is stable, aware, and able to insight in the phenomena and awaken, then through the first turning, second turning, and the third turning, develop the appropriate wisdom. This mind will behave differently. It will listen to you. You remember I told you, the mind will listen to you. Why? You want it to be silent, it will stay silent. It will not think. If you don't believe, you go and check. Most people think a lot, but they don't have the understanding of what sati is, awareness. If you cannot be aware, you cannot be mindful, you cannot understand what is going on within life. Your sense experience, they move so fast. Your seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness, they arise and pass away so fast. Without sati, you don't know the internal movement. That every moment of seeing, how you stir your mind, how you react to sense experience, how your sankara activity, the what they call mind state, like, dislike, pleasant, unpleasant, all the craving, the desire, the whatever sense experience that you cling on to, positive and negative, that living being give meaning and grasps onto. All this, you cannot understand their activity and movement. Why fear arises in you? Why craving, sensual desire arise in you? And how they arise in you? What are the causes and conditions behind? So all this, you cannot see, you cannot understand how you function as a human being, how your mind functions based on the telling of Paticca Samuppada, the law of dependent origination. So unless you are mindful and aware within to observe, to see clearly and awaken, there is no way you can develop the understanding or wisdom to free your mind, to liberate your mind. That's why early on at the Xuanhua, go back to the note, Jinhao. So here they say, now go down a bit more down. Seeing as if no seeing, hearing as if no hearing. What does it mean? It's because you have the inner awareness, the true mind, the silent mind. And this one can do this. The mundane mind cannot do this. Because without wisdom, if you don't believe me, you go and try. You go and try. See as if no see. What does it mean? I explained to you before the direct see. You develop the direct seeing through what? Sati, mindfulness, awareness, the silent mind. And the silent mind got no word, no concept. Do you understand? But it's not the mundane mind. It's not the thinking mind. It does not retrieve anything from memory. So they see things as they are. Understand now? So here, seeing as if not seeing. We are normal seeing, mundane seeing is with the perception. They perceive, kan san si san. But when you use the direct seeing in pure inner awareness to see, you like a baby seeing without all the knowledge, nothing. But this one is you are a grown-up human being with all the conditioning, with all the memory, and yet you can see things as they are. Means what? You have stability of mindfulness, awareness. Your awareness stability is such that you can stay there. Like just now at the dinner, Song asked me, about this awareness thing. I told him, You can be at the moment of consciousness. Means when that pure consciousness arises, like the Buddha said, in the seeing, there's only that consciousness. It's just the awareness away of the consciousness. The awareness and the consciousness as one before the content went in. Yeah. Then when the content went in, the awareness also can see what are the content that went in and how it developed the movement within all this. So the direct seeing means the true mind that is completely silent and without thought can have that type of seeing. But that one, that nature, as I have explained to you before, it is very near to your mundane mind. Your mundane mind manifests from that, and very fast it come out. That's why I say, unless you have trained your mundane mind to be aware, then you got no control or no ability to decide how that mundane mind is going to behave. That's why in the early day, you can recall, I always say, once you have trained this mind, the mundane mind, then it will listen to you. You want it to be silent without thought, it will stay like that. You want it to manifest, to live life, it will manifest. Then, like badminton, after you have trained your stroke and your movement so well, you can decide how you want to return your shuttlecock. You want to serve low, gracefully, it will go low. Then you want to serve high, you want to lob to the baseline, it will listen to you. Then how you return is spontaneous one. Don't have to think one. We have the wisdom and the understanding is that the skillfulness has been developed already. Yeah. That you want it to go high, it will go high. You want it to go low, it will go low. That you want to drop, you want to smash or whatever, you can decide the movement. Means it listens to you. So the mind that is in true samadhi with collectedness and unwavering characteristic, that mind actually has wisdom behind. And because it has wisdom behind after that observation and insight, then it can actually give you the understanding not to be deceived and deluded by the phenomenal world of consciousness and external form. That's why all the sense experience, they fail to have any power over you. And they will like collapse in front of you because you understand them clearly. Like what the Diamond Sutta say, everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Each year you waver. Everything within the condition world are conditioned them, following the law of dependent origination, condition arising, causal phenomena. Then they are like Zhu Meng Huan Pao Yi. They are dreamlike. They are illusionary. Then they are like a bubble, pop, gone. Then they are like shadow movement following the coming process and all those things. Then Zulu Ilu Tian means like a morning dew and a lightning flash. Some phenomena they move very fast. The other phenomena they may last longer, like a morning dew. But once the sun rises, it will also evaporate and gone. In zuo lu si guan, you have to contemplate it such to develop the wisdom. This is what direct seeing, the silent awareness, meditative mind can develop. The silent observation of what is to develop the understanding. The silent mind that insight into phenomena. Without this, you cannot perform all these functions that Xuan Hua mentioned. That's why it's not from the thought, not what you think. Okay, we go back to the note. We have to move a bit faster. Okay. So, Xuan Hua say, therefore, in studying the Buddha Dharma, you can study for any number of years, but when you encounter any situation, your mind must not move. Can you do that? No need to say reach this stage of wisdom and samadhi. Even normal human being, cultivator or whatever, if they have not developed this awareness-based meditation, you check with them. You tell them not to think. See whether they can do it or not. They cannot control the mundane thinking, the mundane stirring, habitual tendency. They are so strong. That's why the Buddha gave them by a lot of names. They call it anusaya, latent tendency. Then they have also what they call asavak. Asavak are very strong. They are stronger than anusaya. Then there is also the other word they call kilesa, defilement. Because they deceive you, delude you, and create a lot of havoc in living being. Then you accumulate all this through delusion, the habitual tendency, the kilesa, the anusaya, the asavak. And this is the one that creates suffering, misery, that stir your mind, create very intense movement and activity. That's why fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, they manifest as the whole mass of suffering. And there is no way you can deal with them unless you develop mindfulness, awareness, to be aware, to observe the movement, to understand what is going on. Then retrospectively, through understanding or wisdom, reverse all this. That's why you have to straighten your view, to develop right view, right understanding, to see things as they are, to accept the reality of the moment. Whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. Thing is just the way it is, cannot be otherwise. Suchness. Ta ta ta. So all these are the wisdom that need to be developed in order to enable one to liberate from the kilesa or delusion or avijja. Yeah. So here, what Shenhua mentioned is very true, but you must have the correct samadhi with the wisdom connected. Then we move on. The next one is, therefore, we are now lecturing on the Dharma flower, wonderful Dharma flower, lotus. Oh, sorry, wonderful Dharma lotus flower sutta, which tells us that the world is a very bad place to be. It's not really. It's whether you have wisdom or not. You don't have wisdom, then the world is a chaotic world. A lot of problems. So here, Shenhua's commentary, he mentioned that. Anyway, I will read on. He said, how so? It is as dangerous as a burning house. So as an analogy, yes, when you are deluded. It is very easy to get burned to death. When the house we live in catches fire, then how can we avoid being burned to death? Do not let yourself be affected by situation. Recall the previous quote. See, the eye sees, well, but the mind is empty. How to do that? How to achieve that? How to realize that? You must have the true mind. The mundane mind cannot do that. You must have the wisdom. The mind is empty because you are at the true mind with the wisdom. That is not deceived, not deluded. It can live life, but it's not deluded by what life present. It's just like the fifth patriarch told Xuanhua, told the sixth patriarch. He said, this mind, the mundane mind, you must learn how to use it, but not be deceived by it or deluded by it. So this is the meaning. The ear hears mundane sound or vibration. Once it's sound, means the perception come in already. But the mind is not affected. That's why you can be aware. And if you want to perceive, you can perceive. You want to know, you can know. But the mind that has the wisdom is not affected. So that one can only happen when you have real wisdom. So this wisdom is born of sati, awareness, that develop the understanding. You should understand your original heart. This one is about your true nature. Whereas Mahayana like to use this word, original face. It's actually the original nature. Means before anything arise, that thing is the primordial. It existed before time. It was there all the time, like your Buddha nature. That Buddha nature is actually the oneness nature, or the source of all things. From there, everything arises. So, is what Shenhua like to use when they teach the Mahayana tradition. Then Shenhua said, originally, who were you? Originally, you were a Buddha. Since you were originally a Buddha, you should return to your origin, means the source, and walk the path of the Bodhisattva. A Buddha has perfected the myriad virtues and wisdom in all their splendor. As we walk the path to Buddhahood via the Bodhisattva way, we should do all kinds of good deeds to help us succeed. That is the most important thing. You remember the three set of pure precepts? I mentioned the second set of pure precepts. We should cultivate one. All virtue and blessings until perfection. But when you continuously cultivate virtue and blessing, you are incapable of negativity. It means you already have the wisdom and the understanding. That's why without the wisdom and understanding, you cannot hold on to the three set of pure precepts, especially the second one. Then, when you realize your true nature, which Master Shenhua say original face, you remember the last week sharing, I think last Tuesday, Sister Alicia was sharing about the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, the second poem by the Six Patriarch. He said, originally, there was nothing. You remember the meaning? We have this true nature, original nature. Originally, nothing. There is the unconditioned. You cannot talk about it. You cannot describe it. Understand now? There is nothing. It's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. That's why originally, there is nothing. Then here, he said, originally, you were a Buddha. You know, use the analogy. Because how they define Buddha? Perfectly enlightened one. Complete in the 10 perfection. He has all the understanding, blessing, virtue. So what happened is that original nature or true nature is also called our Buddha nature. Yes or not? So a lot of people get very confused. They ask, they say, Vatio, if we are the Buddha nature, then why need to cultivate? You understand? Logical or not? Very logical. It's just like that so-called brother one. He said, if the enlightened mind can fall back and become the mundane mind, then not logical, understand? Not right. It is not the true mind that fall back, understand? When I draw the four circle formation, I already explained to you the source or the what they call Buddha nature or oneness nature or whatever. That one you cannot talk about it because it's unconditioned. But the first thing to come out from there is the pure awareness nature. This is the one that can awaken you. Develop the understanding. This is the meditative mind. But this is also the primordial that is responsible for the arising of the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the five aggregates of form and mind. That's why from the first circle, you move on to the second circle. Then from the second circle, you move on to the third circle, which is the mundane mind. Then from there, it transforms itself into the phenomenal world of consciousness, the fourth circle. And that's how it happened. It doesn't mean that the true mind fall back. No, that true mind is still the true mind. The one that come out is the karmic process through the what they call content of consciousness, that one input into that space. Because originally, your pure awareness nature is spacious awareness, like I said. Then because you have a form and mind, a condition born of coming, with a consciousness trapped inside, with the senses, what happens is these senses can allow you to perceive. Understand? So in order to perceive something, to know something, you need to shrink that spacious awareness into a small space. Then what happens? You input the content of consciousness from your memory, your views, your opinion, conditioning, beliefs. And this is the delusion, the rubbish that went in. That's why that thought becomes defiled. That thought has karmic imprint. That's why the karmic process enters there. And this is the reason why living being created and follow the karmic process of birth and death. That's why samsara is like eternity, unless you awaken and return. It's not you return. Every living being that goes through samsara, because of the karmic process, you actually has a gateway to your nature within. There is this awareness, the pure awareness nature that is already within you, but you never knew. You are so confused by the thought process, the thinking. Because since birth until now, living being, they are so used to that thinking mind, the mundane mind, and they never realize or come to know that there is another mind which is beyond thought, beyond the mundane or thinking mind. Without thought, who are you? I always ask you to inquire. When you can silence and maintain awareness, and then you find out, without thought, who are you? What are you? What is that nature within? It's just that pure awareness nature, without word, nothing. But it is capable of awareness inside. It's beautiful. Everything within there is, we can say, is a primordial. From that nature it arises. But it's not a being. It cannot come out and live like. That's why it's not you, Ananta. It's the unconditioned. But that nature is very powerful. It can develop the meditative understanding, the direct seeing, the awakening, the insight in the phenomenon, the silent observation of what is, to understand the Dhamma, the teachings of the Buddha. So all this is what the Buddhist teaching is all about. That's why it's very unique, very, very wonderful in its ability to give rise to the understanding, which is very, very extensive. And it covers every aspect of life, both the mundane and supramundane. And you can understand all things from that nature. So without going through the meditative transformation, you can never understand all this. That's why all this are not easy to comprehend. So here, I will read the last paragraph which Shenhua already mentioned. Since you were originally a Buddha, you should return to your origin and walk the path of the Bodhisattva to Buddhahood. A Buddha has perfected the mind right virtue and wisdom in all their splendor. As we walk the path to Buddhahood, we should all know Oh, sorry, we should all do all kinds of good deeds to help us succeed. That's why this one is the second Bell precept of a Bodhisattva. And he used the word that is the most important thing. Understand? That's why cultivating all virtue and blessing is a very important thing to do to be a Bodhisattva. Because you need all this blessing, perfection, understanding, wisdom to actually help you when you go through the cultivation. We should do the good deeds whenever we can and to the best of our ability. What are good deeds? They are deeds that can help people and benefit people. Bodhisattvas benefit themselves and benefit others, awaken themselves and awaken others. This one in Mandarin is very beautiful. I think Engby and Alicia should know the Mandarin well. Zi du and what? I forgot already.
Zi li li tang.
Zi li and?
Li tang. Li ta.
Li ta, then enlightenment? Zi jue jue ta. Zi li li ta. Zi jue jue ta. The Mandarin is a bit difficult. So here, why they use this word, you must understand. That's why sometimes you cannot blame the Mahayana for saying some of these words that I think the Theravada tradition felt very offended. They always say the sainthood way of the Theravada tradition, they work towards self-enlightenment, understand that? They don't walk the Bodhisattva way to enlighten others. But then, when you understand, then you understand why they say that. Because it's the Bodhisattva vow they take. They vow to liberate the limitless living being from samsara to the other shore. That is their vow. And they have to fulfill that. And because of that, if you look at the cultivation, when you realize enlightenment, there is no self involved. That's why the hallmark of Huining, the three enlightenment hallmark of Huining, the first hallmark is Wu Nian, no thought. That is to realize our true mind, our true pure awareness nature within. Otherwise, you cannot progress. That's why his teaching is very direct, take you direct to the true mind, so that you can awaken straight away. No need to waste time on the method technique or the thing, on the so-called traditional, what they call, you call that what already? The initial teaching is called, what is the word already? They always use, provisional teaching, the provisional teaching. So the provisional teaching, it teaches you a lot of skillful means, understand, a lot of dhamma, everything. But when you directly transform and realize the true mind, when you can be in the state of no thought, wu nian de jing jie, you straight away will realize your true mind, your silent mind, your awareness nature, and you will awaken from that. Then the next one is, the second hallmark is, about wu xiang. Wu xiang, this is the one. No mark. No mark of what? A self cultivating, understand not? No mark of living beings, others. And no mark of life, existence, and even Dhamma. So this second hallmark of wu xiang, no mark, is a very penetrating wisdom cultivation that Mahayana had profoundly realized. Bodhisattva who go this way must have that training. That's why when they say Si Tu, the Theravada tradition, provisional teaching, is talking about self-enlightenment, because they want to quickly liberate and free from samsara. No more suffering. But to them, samsara is suffering. But when you realize that there is no one cultivating, then the whole understanding becomes different, isn't it? Then why you still cling on to the atta of me cultivating? Me wanting to liberate, to free. All this come from the initial delusion before one become enlightened. So understanding all this is very important. Then no more argument, understand? Huh? They use all this to describe the Theravada tradition is to let people understand the meaning of why they say the provisional teaching or the sainthood way or the Theravada tradition, they work towards self-liberation, understand not? Mean self-enlightenment. Yeah. But in real life, they understand that there is no self. But it's because the energy, those who go the Bodhisattva way, they even vow to take across all the other beings, although they know there is no other beings. There's no mark of any permanent unchanging entity. So all this understanding is where the confusion is. So once you understand this, no more confusion, no need to argue with people. Otherwise, it creates a lot of unnecessary misunderstanding. And there is no benefit to argue over right and wrong. Yeah, these are conventional reality. Thing is just the way it is. No right, no wrong. It depends on your understanding, how profound your understanding is, how deep your wisdom is, and how far your understanding can take you to develop all the understanding. That's why the three stages of seeing is very beautiful. Kan san si san, kan san bu si san. And kan san, yu si san. So the third level of seeing is suchness seeing, seeing things as they are. Whereas the first seeing is mundane seeing, mundane perception, where the duality are still there, the Dhamma, everything is still there. The second level is the direct seeing from the silent mind, kan san bu si san. That the true mind, the silent mind, got no words. No word means what? No concept, no idea, no duality, nothing. It's seeing things as they are. Jnana dasana. Direct knowledge and vision of the reality as they are, without words. That is the direct seeing. That is the understanding of truth, is suchness. Thing is just the way it is. If your mind cannot transform to that level, you cannot understand, you cannot see. Like Xuanhua said, you can cultivate for eons, I'm here. You will never be able to comprehend all this. Okay, we go back. Yeah? I have to end it already. Yeah? What are good deeds? They are deeds that help and benefit others. That's why bodhisattva benefit themselves, benefit others, awaken themselves, and awaken others. Do this kind, and they do these kinds of things. Okay, we end here. Okay, I'll mark that page.
Oh, hi, Radio. Can you hear me? Radio? Oh, okay. Radio, good evening, Radio, Mrs. Teo and all Kalamita. Yeah, actually, what I wanted to share, quite, it happened, way before we went to China,
Oh, the Wu Tai Sun tree lah.
yeah, and then it kind of like, continue after that,
Oh, okay. Good. You should
Yeah,
share, yeah.
I don't know. Suddenly, I feel like grateful for a lot of things, you know, in my life.
Sadhu, it's very beautiful, huh? When
Yeah.
you can realize that ability to be grateful so for so many things to happen. You already have some form of good understanding. Otherwise, that gratitude cannot arise. Huh? This is what Sui went through also. She realized nothing is due to chance or accident. Everything is like meant to be, and he embraces everything. That's why he has a lot of gratitude for how things unfold and arise, and how he is able to have the good life to be what he is now. And everything that he come to embrace, experience, and understand, he has a lot of gratitude. That's why gratitude is an understanding that manifests from our heart. Especially cultivator. I remember after 1989, after my nature connect, and I was able to have the first thing I did was I pay respect sincerely, profoundly to Sakyamuni Buddha, of course, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Maitreya, and all the great beings, and especially towards Kuan Yin, because the nature actually very compassionate and very full of wisdom and understanding, and it has protected my form and mind for many, many lives, and he has given me the guidance, the blessing, and all things. That's why even this night I told you on three occasions, this form and mind would have been destroyed, gone. It is not because of Kuan Yin, nature's protection. So a lot of things, they manifest due to causes and conditions behind. Then this gratitude that will manifest from cultivator is very genuine. That's why for your case and Sui's case is the beginning. When you understand more and more, that gratitude become like manifested. And initially, it's like you felt it that way. But later on, as you continue to progress, this gratitude can reach even more refined level that are so beautiful. And gratitude is the best mind state to me. And when you have gratitude, your mind really rejoices and open up. And that gratitude is from the understanding that without all these great beings or all these people that has helped us form in mind all this world to help us realize what we are today, none of this would have been possible. That's why that gratitude will grow and become very different. Very good. Now you continue. Yeah.
Yeah, Sadhu, Radio, and also Su Sui.
Yeah.
Yeah. The gratitude is like little things that, because I guess I have the luck to, you know, to go to school, to be friends, that, you know, is, intelligent in studies. And I always take for granted that, you know, everybody is like that.
Yeah, no, not everybody has that type of karmic blessings. A lot of people actually struggle through life, and they don't have the, what they call, good opportunity to have parents who can support them in their education and all those things. And they have to strive very hard to even go through life, not to say have good education. Yeah, very true.
Yeah,
and the initial gratitude. You continue.
Because I suddenly realized that, you know, some people when they are young, they already get into the wrong group of friends.
Correct.
You know, they take drugs, like, don't know whatever they do, or even if they don't take drugs, they may not want to study. You know.
Yeah.
They drag you into that kind of a situation.
Right. You will associate with that particular type of people. That's why all these are the result of your karmic past, understand? You are what you are because of your karma. That's why now, you through all this understanding, you will come to appreciate the beauty of what we have discovered through our cultivation of the Dhamma. Because we have been taught the importance of taking care of karma. It would have not develop that this life you come, you may not be as fortunate as what you are. Yeah. And you can see them. In fact, a lot of people, especially our Earth population, many of these so-called human beings, they have malnutrition. They don't have proper shelter and food. And a lot of them has to confront a lot of what they call war, disaster, nature's disaster, and a lot of what they call first noble truth, reality that afflict them very severely. They are subject to a lot of suffering, misery, affliction. And the more common one are the not so serious but also hurt their pocket one is, now you know, yeah, you work in Bangladesh, a lot of scam. A lot of people actually suffer all this. Then Jubilian today mentioned snatch thief coming back again. So you have to be careful. If you can avoid the situation, try to avoid. So all this will trace back to what we understand from the teaching is because of each and everyone's karmic past. That's why we become different. We are the way we are. Then when we go through all this understanding, especially with the Dhamma understanding, then we reflect back, then we realize that we have been blessed by all this understanding all the way. That's why we have the good occasion to be born a human this life, to encounter the true Dhamma this life, to have affinity with so many Kayamita, great beings, Buddha, Bodhisattvas, and all these things. And all these are your great blessings. That's why you should rejoice and have gratitude towards them for what they have done for us. And so this gratitude will continue, extend, and become very, very expansive. Then when we know how to make use of it, refine upon it, it continues to evolve and develop. Because of gratitude, a lot of things manifest. Then after that, it's your time to deliver all this to all the other beings through our Bodhisattva way. That's why you reap what you sow. Do good, it gets good. Do evil, it gets evil. All this is what nature's law is, the law of karma, karmic conditioning and manifestation. You cannot blame anybody. You cannot say God is unfair. Well, there is only nature, which is nature's law. So if you are so foolish as to blame and complain or react over what happened, means you don't have the understanding of nature's law that governs life and existence. Like the Buddha said, thing is just the way it is, cannot be otherwise. That's why Sui come to know this. He embraced everything and become very happy, even when she broke her finger or got cut by the broken. He said, all this set trigger out the causes and conditions for her to develop understanding. And she has a lot of gratitude for what he was able to experience and develop all this understanding. Yeah, you continue, Manya. Yeah. After that, what else?
Then sometimes when I get up in the morning, I don't know how it comes, like it's like, oh, I can stand up and walk around very happy also.
Badu, very good. That is the result of understanding.
But we are the radio.
Yeah, you can just morning, wake up, walk around and be very happy. Yeah, that is the understanding. You have a lot of contentment, joy. These are the virtues that we develop, understand not? The gratitude, the respect, the happiness, the joy. So, able to manifest this means you have understanding to at least the extent that you have now. You look back in the past, you never do that, understand? You wake up only, you worry about office, you worry about all the thought that connect you to all your so-called unresolved issue and problem online or surface. Then I got in that early morning moment of happiness and joy, can just walk around and be happy. Very few people can do that.
I know, brother, that I mean, I happy because I can still walk around. It's not
Yeah,
like
that is the contentment, understand not? Compared to those who are like okay, you or what? Like I always say, even at my age, coming to 70 soon, my health is still very good, senses are all intact, and with all the things that I have, there is what we call money cannot buy, and stuff. And there is so much joy because relatively a lot of people before my age already gone or con or suffer very badly. And not only are I able to have this good condition of the physical, the mental too, and the understanding that enable me to retire early and do all this work and sharing. And this one is like almost near to impossible for anybody who wants to do it. So whatever manifests is our karmic inheritance from the understanding that we have. That's why all this, they were manifest in cultivator of the way. So my nature rejoices that you are slowly developing all this understanding.
Right, but never mind. I don't go to the part like open the pipe, got water coming out, also happy.
Yeah,
But
that's what Sui told me all along. You think you take for granted a lot of things in life. The water, the electricity, you go to the war zone, you look at Gaza and all those places that have war, even Africa area, all those things. The best one is Ukraine. You imagine living there in the midst of war. That's why you got tap to open, got water flowing. There, they can only hear all the missile and all those things. Then the siren, oh, then everybody just hope for the best. Not enough food, not enough medical, not enough even shelter or whatever. And this is really like living hell. That's why for you to have that contentment, that understanding, that joy, is the beginning of understanding. Many people don't appreciate all this. They take for granted. And sometimes, because they take for granted, they get angry somehow. Especially family members, between spouse. They take for granted. Actually, both the husband and wife contributed a lot to the family unit. Even your parents, they sacrifice for you, all things. But a lot of people take for granted, no. Then they still get angry with each other, no. Not until the day one of them pass away, then only they regret. Yeah, want to argue also no more already. Want to complain also no more already. While they are around, do not appreciate all this, no. Do not have the understanding to live life, no. Still want to argue, still want to quarrel, still want to get Bosong, the Hokkien word is Bosong, everything also, I used to say like the exhaust pipe, keep on sending out the fume on itself. You know what is exhaust pipe, all the unburned fuel, chut yen, means a lot of anger, a lot of dislike and complain inside it. This is not life, understand? To live life is to have all the good mind state. That's why when you have the second pure precept, your cultivation become very different. You vow to cultivate what? All virtue and blessing, Lord. This is what you started doing, understand? All these are the virtue, your contentment, your gratitude. Your kindness, your love, your compassion, your joy. All these are the good mind states born of pure virtue. No evil root inside there. No negativity of mind state. So your sankhara has shifted, understand? Compared to normal heedless living being who don't have the understanding. So hopefully with this sharing, Manyan, you can deepen your realization on this gratitude and all those things. Yeah, you continue.
Thank you, Radio.
No, got 10 more minutes.
Oh,
Continue.
okay. Then, I mean, carry on for a while now that I think back,
Yeah.
but I don't know how long. Then, at one point, I mean, when I have this, I felt happy inside, and there was some sort of calmness and happiness.
Yeah, so
Then,
good. When you are happy, you feel calm, not
but then,
agitated. Yeah, very good. Yeah, some more.
Brother, one day I think I had a wrong thought, because suddenly it occurred to me, what well, this one is gratitude because I this must be gratitude. Then I was thinking, is gratitude one of the 10 paramitas? So I went to the Heart Sutra and check, you know.
It's not inside there.
It's not inside there.
These are virtue. It's not one of the 10 paramita. But virtue is actually a very good mind state. When you cultivate the 10 perfection, you must have all these virtuous thought. Understand? That's why Noble Eightfold Path, right thought, are all the virtuous thought, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So you don't be confused by paramita, understand now? The perfection of all those 10 perfection to be Sammasambuddha. Well, they are the summary of the 10 essential out of so many of these virtue that you can cultivate and perfect. So like metta, understand now? It's a very special virtue. Then dana, sila, these are very special virtue. So all this understanding, even kanti, patient, then renunciation, all these are very powerful virtue, and you must have the understanding. So the categorization of the 10 perfection is different from what we call as virtue. Well, the 10 perfection are the special core cultivation that we need. They are the important out of the group of virtue that we use to cultivate. So they have been selected so that you can become Sammasambuddha. Like Nekkhama, renunciation. That is a perfection, no? A lot of people don't understand. And when you do this, it can bring forth a lot of transformation. That's why the Bodhisattva vow, as I explained in the Blue Book, they are all closely connected to the 10 perfection. The 10 perfection. And how you develop it, I explained it inside that book. So now what you develop as virtue, which is gratitude, joy, contentment, and all things, these are the separate list of virtuous mind state that cultivator of the way will continue to cultivate and manifest. And when you have more and more of this, means all the negative thought, the rubbish, all slowly, slowly, one by one, comes.
I think from there also more tolerance towards other people and
Definitely, yeah. Oh, PG say cannot hear clearly. Can you put the mic nearer to your mouth, Maya?
is this better?
Yes, a lot better. I can hear because I'm near the speaker. You cannot hear because they are further away from the speaker.
I see. So, after this, then I felt that I don't know whether it's because of this or it, whether it, maybe it might not be like there's some more understanding and there is tolerance. That means before
You
this,
are
if
definitely you become more tolerant. They use the word you are able to tolerate a lot of things, where you can appreciate a lot of things. Then you develop all the virtuous mind state like gratitude, contentment, joy, happiness. All this they will manifest. Then you become like very kind, very generous. Then because of all those things, you will behave differently when you confront your parent, when you have relationship with your parent, your brothers, your friends, all different already. It's no longer like before already. Where all your gratitude towards your parent, the education they given you, the sacrifice, and the care. And all the what they call food, shelter, protection, and needs when you are young. So all this they evolve and surface. Then you have gratitude towards them. Then your love towards them come from understanding. That's why you treat your parents very well now, no more like before, and you appreciate what they go through, because you had the double. Otherwise, you develop fear, panic. Oh, I don't want to be like my parent when I'm old. Here fall down, there fall down, go hospital, everything. Different, understand? That is the reality of the first noble truth. Reality of aging, getting sick, having injury or whatever. So all these are part and parcel of cultivation. They embrace this life, part of Noble Eightfold Path, part of the First Noble Truth reality. That's why life itself is the greatest teacher. We can learn a lot of things from life. Like my teacher always share, nature full of loving kindness. Nature just give and give. They never take. Means what? The air we breathe, the water we have, drinks, then all the food, agriculture produced from nature. From nature it comes. So the engineers make use of nature's resources to build buildings, everything, highway, to give comfort to mankind. All this come from nature. Because we all have this understanding as an engineer. We mobilize the product of nature and build them into things for the comfort of mankind. I remember my first year ethics paper, we were taught all this. So I am very proud to be an engineer. And this is the thing that we can do for humanity. Very good, Manjan. You brought a very good topic today.
And then, Radio, just now we'll talk about those latent tendency.
Yes, anusaya asava kilesa,
So I still have that. You know, sometimes like if I see something or something happen, will come from me also. You know, very unhappy. But then, very fast. You know, like I
Yeah,
realize.
because of the wisdom and understanding, straight away the understanding and wisdom will prompt you understand, the Dhamma will come out. Yeah, these are the habitual thing that you have been doing all this. And habitual tendency is not so easy to completely rule it out. It will still come one, initially maybe for a while. Then later on it loses its power. Then later on, the moment that thing react or stir, you smile straight away. You already know. Thing is just the way it is, cannot be other. Then the wisdom will prompt you and you will develop more and more stability or understanding. Until one day you realize, eh, how come different from last time? I cannot react, it cannot become like last time. Even when hot coffee pour on you or people do, or you don't react anymore. Like what happened to my wife at Cameron Highland that time. So all this it will come naturally. So cultivation has its unique transformative power. It can transform living beings' understanding, thereby transforming their character and the way they understand things and do things. The habitual tendency, or slowly, slowly, they will root it out. Then, when the delusion no more, every moment is so beautiful. Every moment is just the way it is. Because you no longer behave the old way, all this can be realized. And when the cultivator of the way realize, they develop a lot of different understanding. Ah, Manjan, you have to summarize it. Now the alarm just went off.
Okay, so I understand the latent tendency, and then the feeling of guiltiness is not that strong. Is that
Yeah, not like last time already. We are not so real, understand or not? How
yeah.
can it be? You remember the last book, Ultimate Realization, The Transcend Life? As real as it can be, it's only the present moment, understand not? Moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? And how stable is the present moment? Split second, arise, pass away, no more. And that is the only reality, you know. So how real can life be? That's a hey no you, hey no me. All these are dependent, originating, condition, arising, causal phenomena. 一切有为法, 如梦幻泡影, 如露亦如电, 应作如是观. All these become very clear to you, and then no meaning already. That's why whatever people say, not important already. Luckily you're not married, huh? You marry, whatever your husband say also doesn't matter anymore. Then you look and smile at your husband. Your husband panic and say, "What happened to my wife?" Because you will have that type of understanding. But initially, of course, being your spouse, your loved one or whatever, they cannot understand you. You bo song one, understand? It sure bo song one. But after a while, when your wisdom already there, yeah, he is the way he is, like, is he an icon or not? Then no more already. Understand? Then sometimes you can even joke with him. Anything else? I think we better go and have supper. Then everything resolved. Because the old way, they always, because they take things for granted. They don't appreciate what each other contributes towards the family unit. Okay? But yeah, very good. Sado.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you for the good condition to have this sharing. So let us rejoice. Sado, sado, sado. Okay, we will now share merits. Akasatajabhumata Devanagamahindika Punyantang anumoditva Chirang rakkhantu lokasasana Etavata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu Sabasampati siddhya Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetuja. Pito bhavatu lokoja. Raja bhavatu dhammiko. Imina punyang kamena. Mame bala samagamo. Sattang samagamo hotu. Yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. I got one announcement before you pay respect. This Tuesday is our last Dharma class for this week. Because Thursday, Mama Sri not around, so no class. Sunday, I'm still in Singapore. And I'll be flying out to Singapore on Friday morning. So all the class will be canceled. Eh? Next Tuesday, it will be back to normal. Okay, I'll be back on Monday. I should reach here by 4 5 p.m. Yeah. So now you can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Guanyin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end the whole Dhamma session. Eh? Sahadu.